With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, it's Dan Harris. Just want to give you a little message before you get into the show. We recorded this early on Monday at about 10 a.m. Eastern time with Joe and Tags. At that point, we did not have quite all the injury information that we do now. The biggest one being that Christian McCaffrey is reportedly out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. I talked to Tags because you'll hear we talk about Mike Davis as a potential pickup. Both Joe and Tags discuss how they're not all that worried about McCaffrey's injury, so they don't put him up top. I talked to Tags. He and I had the exact same opinion on what we would do now. Mike Davis immediately becomes our number one waiver wire ad, and we would each spend 30 to 35% of our fab budget on him. That is with the hope that the Panthers don't run out and sign Devonta Freeman or anything like that, but as long as the situation stays where it is right now, both Tags and I would put Mike Davis as our number one waiver claim ahead of Daryl Henderson, and we'd each spend 30 to 35% of our fab budget on him. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, if ever a week of football needed a waiver wire show, it is this one. We talked about it last night. I mean, there are some pickups this week. This is going to be a good show, don't you think?
There are a lot of different pickups. The problem is like, I mean, I'm sure you guys are going to say it the same thing. I don't know if there's like one that stands out. It's like, you absolutely, this is number one. I feel like there's just a bunch of guys that can contribute in different ways, but I think there's question marks about like all of them. So I don't love this week for the waiver wire, to be honest with you. I know it's going to be a very busy week considering all the injuries that you've suffered on your fantasy teams, but we're going to walk through it and try and figure out which ones have the most value.
Yeah, there are a lot of names, and I'm really interested to see how you are prioritizing them, as I am with one of, you know, our favorite guests. It's none other than Joseph Rutherford Pisapia. He's here to join us. By the way, I make up middle names for people. I don't know. It's just my thing. Some people might be annoyed by it. I'm sure Joe Rutherford loves it. Anyway, Joe authors the Black Book series, as I'm sure you know. He hosts the Sports Grid Fantasy Game Day and the Black Book podcast and like 30 other things. You can find him on Twitter at JoePisapia17. Joe, thanks for coming on.
Is it Rutherford because I live in Jersey? Is that why?
No.
That's what I figured.
But if it makes you feel better, it's because to get my daughter to work on her math skills, they love presidents. And so we do the number of presidents, which, by the way, I've memorized because I'm like a super genius. And Rutherford B. Hayes was what we ended on, the 19th president. We ended on that. I mean,
it's fantastic. I love it. I love this nickname. Thanks. I can't get enough of it. I think it's great. By the way, I don't know about you guys, but I spent all afternoon after the Cowboys game trying to kick a ball in that same way. So maybe I can get signed by an NFL team, because that is the future of onside kicks right there. That's my path to the NFL now. I figured it out. So I don't expect to be doing this much longer once I figure that out.
All you need to do is to make sure that the opposing team just makes no effort to recover the ball. And then you're fine. That's apparent. I didn't realize that that's how you do onside kicks. You just be like, hey guys, just to be clear, you probably forgot to practice this whole thing. Just when the ball comes to you, just kind of watch it and stand around and don't actually dive.
I'm waiting for a meme to come out with everybody having those curling brushes, because that's what it looked like. It looked like everyone just waiting. I was waiting for someone to sweep, to get the ball to go to 10 yards, and then yelling out crazy things in German to them. And then that's what I was hoping for.
Oh, you can't go wrong with a curling reference. All right, look, today we're going to be briefly breaking down the Sunday night game, which was great. Really exciting. Kind of we all needed that after last night. And we're talking about our favorite waiver wire pickups. But you know, if you want to do your waiver wire pickups right, then you should be using our waiver assistant. It's over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. You can identify the top players available in your league, view the percentage of experts who would add that player to your roster, and get a detailed analysis of the impact on your team. Now, the waiver assistant, just one of the many, many tools that we offer over at My Playbook, which is available to our premium members. And we've got a great offer for you today to get our highest premium tier for the rest of the season, absolutely free. Just go to fantasypros.com/offers. That's fantasypros.com/offers and get premium for free. All right, as I said, the game plan for today, we're going to talk a little Sunday night football real quick, get some takeaways there, some of which, you know, you never know, might bleed into the waiver wire show. Then we're going to talk about the notable waiver wire pickups by position, running back, wide receiver, quarterback, and tight end. Then we'll talk about our top five waiver wire pickups overall, QB and DST streamers, and then drop or keep, where I'll list 10 guys and ask you guys kind of rapid fire, this guy who you're willing to keep on your roster, or is this guy who you are dropping? But let's start with your boys, Joe, the Patriots. They lose a close one here to the Seahawks, 35-30. Wasn't the game that we deserved, but it was the game that we needed. look, things look a little, I don't even know how I'm supposed to break down the Seattle part of this game, because it looked a little more normal. I mean, Russell Wilson, only 28 attempts. That's kind of more in line with what you see. Chris Carson, 17 rushing attempts. That's kind of more in line with what you see. And yet Russell Wilson throws 5 touchdown passes, one each to DK Metcalf, Lockett, Carson, David Moore, and Freddie Swain. Wilson is incredible. I don't really know what we can say about this game from the Seattle side. I mean, he's a top 5 quarterback. You start him every week, marvel at his glory. Joe, what do you want to say other than that poetic statement about the Seahawks from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah, you can bask in the glory of Russell Wilson. That's perfectly fine. That David Moore catch was, I mean, the concentration of that catch was unbelievable to me. DK Metcalf is a man-child. He's unbelievable.
Were you guys worried about him out of curiosity coming in? Because you knew Gilmore would be on him, and it just doesn't matter.
Well, you know, they mentioned it on the broadcast that Gilmore does kind of, when he has the big physical, like if it's a Julio Jones or whatever it is, like they tend to let him play one-on-one with those guys, and typically he plays pretty well. And I think the takeaway from the Seattle side, at least for me, I don't know what Tags will say, but is that it took these big-time receivers making big-time plays in order to really get a lead on the Patriots. And the energy level of the Seahawks just doesn't quit. This is a team that is going to constantly fight, constantly be in it. They are very reflective of the coach. They have a lot to offer here in terms of fantasy. And, you know, just kind of sitting back there and watching DK the last 2 weeks, it's everything that Mike and I talked about all offseason. I feel like, you know, I feel like every one of my wide receiver cores this year is a combination of Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf, right, Deontay Johnson, right? Which is all the guys that we talked about. And so far, the first 2 weeks, we look up and we're like, wow, I hope this stays. Because if this keeps going in this direction, man, it's good. But I mean, Russell Wilson is just, he's playing at the top tier of his game. And I think that's what you're just watching. You're watching that, and Jamal Adams being added to that defense gives them that other layer of physicality they've been lacking a little bit in the secondary.
No, we're not gonna talk about Jamal Adams today, just to be clear.
Oh, it's sore for you still.
You can talk about defense, just not Jamal Adams.
Sorry. Yeah, it's still raw.
Let me ask you guys this, and let me throw this to Tags, actually. First of all, I will say with Wilson, it's like, it's one of these years where you're like, hey man, I took my quarterback a little earlier than usual. I feel great because I got Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray or Dak Prescott. But if you waited on quarterback, you got Cam Newton or Matt Ryan. So it's just all your quarterbacks are good this year. But I want to ask Tags this, because I know last week, Tags, Chris Carson, I believe he got either 6 or 7 carries last week. You expressed a little bit of worry. I assume that after, you know, he caught the receiving touchdown, but I assume that given the 17 carries, you're not worried at all about Carson, right?
I'm not super worried about him, no. But at the same time, you have to have concern because Rashad Penny is reportedly doing well coming back from his ACL tear that he had last year. And if you add him to the mix, all of a sudden it's a 3-headed timeshare between between him, Carlos Hyde, and Chris Carson. So, you know, this could be a mess. And I don't know if I want to say that this is last year's Seahawks, you know, where Russell Wilson threw the ball 28 times. He only threw the ball 28 times because he was so damn efficient.
Right.
It was like a Ryan Tannehill-esque performance from 2019. Russell Wilson has 9 passing touchdowns in the year. He has 11 incompletions. Right. One of those incompletions was to Greg Olsen that bounced off his head and gave the Patriots an end to that game that kind of like just gave him that leg up. But Russell Wilson is the MVP through 2 weeks. Like, it's not even a question in my mind. I think it's a joke that he's never received an MVP vote. And I think that he's out there. He's on a big FU tour right now. And I do think that they're going to throw the ball more now that they have DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Will Disley seemingly coming back. Carson's being used more in the passing game. So love what they're doing there. It's just a fun team to watch when they allow Russ to cook.
Yeah, and they are. I mean, it's great. And given how well he's playing, it's really remarkable. I will say the one thing is I'm not giving Russell Wilson the MVP just yet, considering I have a fairly hunky bet on Josh Allen to win the MVP that I placed months ago. So let's leave the competition open for right now, but let's go to the Patriots here. Terrible news, obviously, about James White's family. You know, everything that happened. I don't know if there's any updates on his mother, but obviously, you know, from anybody, you know, who obviously knows him, everybody came out, and anybody, of course, in the fantasy football community, we love football, and, you know, we wish the best for all the players. So just obviously all three of us, our hearts go out to him. But for the game, I mean, Cam Newton, 397 yards passing and a touchdown with a pick, 48 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. Joe, I guess, you know, I don't know if you do rest of season rankings. You know, if you do, I don't know where you'd have him necessarily. But if you're like Cam Newton, you have to choose one or the other, Cam Newton or like Matt Ryan rest of the season. Who are you taking?
Well, as long as the Falcons defense continues to be the Falcons defense, I'm still going to be really pretty good about Matt Ryan. But I think that gap is certainly closed. I mean, there's no way you can't think Cam Newton is not at least a mid to low level QB1 at this stage because of the rushing touchdown equity that he brings every single week to this offense. And it was in week 1 when I watched him too, the first thing that came to my mind is I said, physically, he looks like a rookie again. If you watch the last couple of years of Cam Newton, his legs got a little thicker. He put on a little bit of weight. He looks so healthy and so strong, and he just looks refreshed and ready to go. And I feel like he's the kind of player who has such incredible talent, but it can be his own worst enemy. And I think the discipline, at least so far, of that Patriot way has been a really good thing for him. Now, my problem here was where we get into, we were talking about this before we came on the show, where they're going to struggle is they don't have that playmaker kind of guy. They don't have a playmaker at running back in that real sense of that Nick Chubb type guy, or, you know, some dude like that, Dalvin Cook. They don't have it at wide receiver. They don't have it at tight end. They don't have a red zone tight end. They don't have a red zone wide receiver. If they can somehow get to a 6-2 or something like that, and at the trade deadline this year, add somebody who can at least fill one of those roles. Because what happens is the Patriots are able to get downfield. They're able to soak up yardage and do these things. And Edelman had a great game. And James White will always have a Burkhead. Well, you know, all these guys are going to get involved. He spread the ball around really nice, read the progressions well. But they're always going to end up somewhere around the goal line. They're not going to just break away for touchdowns. That's clearly what the Patriots are. And you just don't want to become too one-dimensional down there. It's great. It's been brilliant for the first 2 weeks of fantasy for Cam Newton. But at the same time, if they don't add another wrinkle into that goal line offense somehow by getting, like I was saying before the show, if they could get a Mike Williams or some red zone tight end, at least that, you know, somebody, some team that's out of it can just jettison because of cap space and things like that, this could be a really dangerous team. And they are going to potentially be a playoff team too, because that defense is still very good. I understand that the Seahawks put a ton of points up, but it took huge plays and moments to put those points up, and sometimes too. So I want to point that out as well. But Cam's been great.
But let me ask both of you guys something, because why can't N'Keal Harry be that guy? I mean, he is a guy who I want to talk about today on the Waiver Wire show, of course. Like, why? I mean, Harry was thought of a little bit as that guy, right? When he came over, everybody's like, well, you know, Cam Newton sort of, you know, he had Kelvin Benjamin, and he obviously made that happen in Carolina. Why can't Harry be that guy? I mean, Harry's playing pretty well, right? 12 targets, 8 catches, 72 yards. Why can't he be that big red zone threat?
He might have to be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Right. But why? I mean, eventually. I think he can be that guy. I don't know. What do you think, Tags?
He's a contested catch wide receiver. He's a guy that Cam is willing to trust, and we've seen that. So he is in my top 5 waiver wire ads this week. So if you need a wide receiver and you want to go that route, I have no issue with it. What I wanted to say on Cam Newton is that he, in week 1, he had 15 carries. That was the second highest total of his entire career. Then this week, he throws for 397 yards. That's the third highest total of his career. So it's like all of a sudden Josh McDaniels is bringing out the best in Cam Newton. And I agree everything Joe said about him looking young and looked like he lost weight this offseason, which is good. Like he's moving very well. And
yeah, he's honestly, not as heavy as he used to be. He's playing lighter.
Even the way that he was throwing the ball last night, I noticed, and it was just like he had some ball placement, which is something that Cam really has struggled with throughout his career. He's completing 71% of his passes. So, yeah, Cam, I admit when I'm wrong, and I was worried about him coming into the season at 31 years old. You know, again, we saw him wearing down as his career went on, and I thought that that was going to continue the trend, but he broke that, and he looks fantastic.
You know what's starting to remind me of, Tex? It reminds me a little bit of, you know, that second breath that we got of Randall Cunningham. You know, with the Vikings, you know, where he's like, oh, he's amazing talent. And everyone's like, okay, he's done, right?
Michael Vick,
you
know, had it too, a little bit.
Michael Vick had it too, a little bit. It's starting to feel like that kind of a tale. And let me tell you, that Michael Vick team went to the playoffs. That Vikings team should, with Randall Cunningham, should have gone to the Super Bowl. Like, it's starting to get that kind of a feeling.
Well, the two really good things about Cam, for this year at least, is number one, he's obviously playing for a contract. So he's himself motivated regardless. And number two, I mean, the bottom line is, last play aside, where obviously he was tackled short, he's succeeding at the goal line. Like, this is working. It's like, we're going to hike it to you. You're going to be in a shotgun. And we know that you are running right now. Although they'll occasionally do the trick, you know, where he looked like he was running and then tossed it off for the touchdown pass. They know he's running. And for the most part, they can't stop him. So there's no real reason to go away from it, that last play aside. So I agree with you. Newton, I believe, is my 10th, maybe 9th ranked quarterback going for the rest of the season. So I am pretty excited about it. All right, before we keep going, guys, Pristine Auction. I'm going to be honest with you. I had not been on pristineauction.com in like a few weeks until yesterday. I'm always just browsing, but football season is in high gear. I haven't found the time, but we have got a major situation over at the Harris house. Okay, we've got little kids losing their baby teeth like nonstop. And the problem is that there was this one time that neither my wife nor I had any small bills. So we had the Tooth Fairy give my son a toy lightsaber. It was one that we had bought him for his birthday, but never gave him because he got like 8 of them from his friends. I got 50 cents a tooth growing up from the Tooth Fairy. My son is getting lightsabers. And now my kids think that Flossie, which is what we named the Tooth Fairy, is supposed to bring presents every single time. We are in full-on teeth-losing mode right now. We are running out of presents. So I thought last night while I was watching the Patriots-Seahawks games, let me look at Pristine Auction. Maybe there's a good deal. You know, there are thousands of auctions every day. It's free to browse. It's free to bid. What's the downside? Of course, as always, there were ridiculous prices. A signed Tyreek Hill Chiefs jersey, $65.09, which I know because I was the one who bought it for my children. Because they have him on their first ever fantasy team, because my son is a front runner and likes the Chiefs, and my daughter's favorite animal is a cheetah, and that's Hill's nickname, so it was like the one player they agreed to draft. So now I really have to hope that they both lose a tooth on the same day, so that Flossie, the magical tooth fairy, can fly in with a signed Tyreek Hill jersey, because my kids are spoiled, and because you can get ridiculous prices over at Pristine Auction. You don't believe me? Go check it out. You will see I am shooting you straight. And also, do not ever get your kids' presents from the Tooth Fairy when you run out of money or you're going down a dangerous road. Anyway, go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up. They'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. All right, let's get into waiver wire, because as we talked about, there was a lot of carnage. Let's start with running back, and here's what I want from you, Joe. I want you to name who your top running back waiver wire target is, and we'll talk about him. And then I want to know, if you're in a fab league, what percentage of your fab you'd be willing to give to him. So start off with whoever your top running back waiver wire target is.
Well, I'm going to agree with Tags. You know, this is going to be the busiest waiver wire week you might see all year. But the problem with that is there's no great definitive, yes, this is the guy. And the worst part is now all these middling guys that you're going to have to fight over are all going to have a premium of a couple dollars attached to them, because now you're in a bidding war because everybody lost somebody pretty much. Which sounds very dramatic. Everyone lost someone, but still, I mean, I tweeted it yesterday. If you got out of yesterday with a win and no injuries, you might've won your league. It's crazy. That's kind of where we're at. I think that Daryl Henderson, if he's still out there, will be the most added guy, because I think with Akers' injury and the constant chasing of whatever that Rams backfield is going to be, I mean, as somebody who spent money on Malcolm Brown last week and actually got him, and I was one of the cheaper people in flex to get him a little, got him in the 30 range instead of 40, you know, it's a very frustrating thing. To me, it looks like that would probably be the guy, maybe McKinnon. But the good news, at least on tight end, is you have a lot of options. All of a sudden, new tight ends all popped up, including Sample from the Bengals. So I think he's going to be active. But I think the one guy's probably Daryl Henderson would be my guess, would be the number one targeted guy.
And how much of your fab would you be willing to spend on him if you haven't already spent it all on Malcolm Brown?
If I haven't blown all my my money on Malcolm Brown. Well, let's see. Let's say that I have maybe $75 left. Let's say we're already into week three here.
You can give a percentage, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to say if I have $75 left, I'd probably go into the 30 range. It's got to be somewhere around, you know, low 30s. That would be, I'm willing to do that because the upside is, even if it is a timeshare, maybe just maybe the Rams have figured things out here moving forward and better. So I would be willing to risk, you know, somewhere around just under half or, you know, a third.
That's roughly 40% in my math skills if you're going low 30s. Look at that.
Not quite a half, but not quite a third. Somewhere in there, that's where I'm going to go.
All right, so Joe basically is willing to essentially blow all his money chasing the running back for the Rams, given the first 2 weeks. Tags, two questions. Because Daryl Henderson is my number one guy as well, but I am, like I was with Brown, I'm not willing to basically risk that much on it. Is Henderson your number one guy? And if so, how much?
He is my number one guy. And again, I don't feel strongly about anybody this week that I feel like you need to like go out there and spend a whole bunch of money. Henderson, I mean, probably worth 15 to 20, maybe. That's how I feel about it. I could see spending a little bit more if you're like, let's say you went with like this modified zero running back approach and it's not really working out and you need a starting running back, or you drafted Ronald Jones thinking he'd be that guy, whatever the case may be, and you're desperate for a running back, you're probably going to need to spend the 30 that Joe was talking about. But ideally, you don't. Just because this is a backfield we talked about on the show last night, Dan, is that he wants a backfield similar to Kyle Shanahan's, and he's doing that so far. You know, Malcolm Brown's going to be involved. We don't know the severity of Cam Akers' injury at this point. So once we find that out, it'll give us some more clarity. And if we find out that Cam Akers is going to be down for, let's say, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or something like that, I'd be willing to spend more on Daryl Henderson. I'd probably go up to 30%.
That's a really good point, which I should point out that we're early right now on Monday. It's 10 o'clock Eastern time when we started recording. So we do not know. And a lot of these situations we'll talk about, like, for example, if Christian McCaffrey's ankle injury turns out to be something serious, then that's going to probably change the equation of who we're going after. Right now, it sounds like it's not. But yeah, I agree with that. This is not a backfield that I want to desperately chase, just because you said it. I think ideally McVay wants the committee approach, which is why Brown was a good ad, because if Brown had done yesterday what Henderson did, then Brown is like, okay, now I feel confident that Brown is going to be able to do this. That's why you go after these guys. So if Henderson puts up another huge game like this against Buffalo next week, then you've got something. So I do think that he needs to be the number one. But in that same vein, I like tags. I'm not 20% max for me, because I'm not going to chase this situation. I think Akers is the one they want long term. So unless Akers' rib injury is really bad, I don't think we're going there. Tags. Joe, you mentioned your second guy, by the way, was McKinnon, right? He'd be your number two for running back?
Once again, now we're getting to a weird point where, you know, the 49ers, boy, what a tough win there. You win the game, but you lose so much in that game. And McKinnon looked pretty good. And you mentioned about, you know, McVay wanted to be like Shanahan. Well, there's the OG right there of Shanahan. And if McKinnon looking good and Mostert isn't available to go, that's a guy that could work himself back in. I've never been a Tevin Coleman guy, and I actually liked Jerick McKinnon back when he played with Minnesota, but the guy just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Now, if he is healthy...
Have we heard anything, by the way, before we go? Last I heard, and again, this is early Monday, is that Mostert is dealing with a mild sprain of his MCL, which I assume knocks him out of action for at least a week or two. And Tevin Coleman left yesterday also with a knee injury, but I haven't seen anything on that. Do we know anything about the severity of that? Because if they're both down... I mean, given what they're dealing with, injury all throughout their team, and they're not going to have Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, McKinnon's could be a stud, at least in the short term, don't you think, Joe?
I think it's possible. He's definitely going to get a workload. I think that's the best way to look at it. And I know people are going to chase the Giants situation, too. And I know they're talking to Devontae Freeman. And I don't know about tags, but I know in all of our, quote, expert leagues, you saw Devontae Freeman being added last night because you could. Because if you had somebody you could drop in the late game that you had, right, or somebody else like that, he was just on a waiver wire. So, you know, you already saw that. Or you saw, you know, the guy I was playing who had Saquon this week go right to and pick him up like it's 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. So, you know, I want to say that, you know, people will chase that. And I don't know if that's the right idea either, to chase that situation. I think McKinnon would be a better stopgap first 2 weeks. And one last thing, too, on Henderson. If you have Malcolm Brown already or Akers already, I would throw a couple dollar premium on Henderson just to cover yourself, because I think it's worth the insurance policy of owning a backfield as much as you possibly can and having at least more control over that situation. You might not always get it right, but at least if there is a definitive injury, you have a little bit more clarity.
I think that's a great point, because I think I don't think McVay, if he were going to give advice to fantasy managers, it would probably be like, you're not going to really want any of these guys because you're not going to know who's going to be great. But if one of them does get injured, like what happened with Akers, if then Brown goes down or then Henderson goes down, if you have the other piece of that backfield, it's definitely good. Tags, how about number two for you? Is it McKinnon for you?
I'm waiting to find out what's happening with all this stuff. I think the only one that for number two for me, and it's gross, dude. You brought it up last week, but we talked about Myles Gaskin.
Here's the thing.
It's a boring play. It really is, because he doesn't have the goal line work. He's missing some of the third down work that Matt Breida is stealing, but he is the primary ball toucher, if that's what we can call it.
Wow. Do not put that on a shirt, Taz.
Yeah.
But no, they're playing against Jacksonville on Thursday night this week. So if you need a running back that you can plug into your lineup, that you're just looking for a floor, you're like, hey, I'm not chasing a ceiling. I just want someone I could plug in. You could probably get Gaskin for a couple bucks. I don't think people are going to be overspending for him because he's not getting those goal line carries. So I wanted to talk to you guys about this because I'm open to moving these guys. It's between Gaskin, Deion Lewis, and McKinnon. I'm expecting the Giants to either sign Devonta Freeman or Wayne Gallman might be the better pickup, because Wayne Gallman is more of a true three down back than Deion Lewis is at this stage of his career. So I think that a lot of people are going to waste their money on Deion Lewis, especially if they don't sign Devonta Freeman. And it's like one of those signings I just don't want. So that's why I said Gaskin over him. And then I was like, well, McKinnon, I just want to know what's happening with the injury with Mostert, if he's going to miss time. You know they're going to involve other running backs. Like, Jeff Wilson's going to be involved. Tevin Coleman's clearly going to get an opportunity because, well, he just keeps on getting it. I that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm kind of grossed out by the running backs here. I mean, Wayne Gallman might turn out to have the most value of all of them, but we just don't know what that is right now.
All right. So here is how I view it. And just so you know, Joe, last week, I was apparently the Myles Gaskin guy. I wasn't like, go get Myles Gaskin. I was more, don't bother with Adrian Peterson. I'd prefer Myles Gaskin. But that became, I'm the Myles Gaskin guy, so that's fine.
It's fair.
He is low on my list because there are just no upside there. Jordan Howard is going to continue to gain negative yards per carry, but get the touchdowns. Matt Breida looked okay when he got him. Yeah, Gaskin, fine if you are desperate there. I am not going after, I'm going to give my take and then Joe, I'll throw it to you and then we can go on to wide receivers. I'm not targeting either Lewis or Gallman. I'm willing to basically say maybe it's going to be Lewis, but I got to imagine they're going to bring somebody in. I mean, Lewis, like you said, Tex, at one point he was thought of as somebody who could kind of be the main back despite his size, but that's no longer really the case. So for me, I'm not going after either one. Right now, if I had to make my claims right now at 10:20 on Monday morning, why aren't you taking your shot on Davis? I guess let's put it like this. McCaffrey, we find out by the time you make your claims, is out next week. Where does Davis rank, Joe, for you in your running back rankings on waiver wire?
Well, if you find out McCaffrey's out, but I find that hard to believe knowing what McCaffrey, like I just feel like that guy is going to find a way. But if he is out, once again, I think it's only a 1 week play. So I'm not going to go crazy and empty the tank there. With the Giants situation, this is one where if they do sign Devonta Freeman, the one thing that he did really well last year was actually catch the football, which makes me like Deion Lewis even less. And I kind of with Mike, I think Gallman might be the cheaper guy, might be the goal line guy. And you have to keep in mind, too, if you have Deion Lewis in your mind as a Patriot, that's a long time ago. And that is a guy that also fit very well in that Kevin Falk kind of role, that role that they've had now and turned it over to James White. It's more of a role in that offense and the way they run it. And you saw in Tennessee, they weren't able to duplicate that. And I'm certainly, you know, I understand that Joe Judge is there. Maybe he can replicate it a little bit, having knowledge. But you know what? If Vrabel and all those ex-Patriot guys couldn't do it, I don't know why Judge all of a sudden can do it. And I think that's a bit of the concern there for me is, you know, that's a few years ago now. He's older, and no one's been able to replicate that kind of production from Deion Lewis outside of what he was in that New England system. So I think that system just yields that sort of back a lot more fantasy productivity. And all this conversation makes me want to spend another $2 on Henderson. That's
right.
That's where I'm getting to. This is just, it's getting sad. Like, the sadder this goes, the more we talk about it.
Mm-hmm. All right, before we keep going, I mean, we're talking waiver wire after one of the craziest injury weeks in recent memory. But there's always a chance to turn around your season next week, both with your season-long teams and, of course, at DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Billions of dollars paid out since 2012. Millions of dollars up for grabs every single week, including this week. You know how to play on DraftKings by now, right? You pick your lineup. You stay under the salary cap. You enter as many contests as you want. You don't need to worry about future matchups or injuries. You choose a new team every single week and you win some money. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code FANTASYPROS because for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Again, that's code FANTASYPROS over at DraftKings. Free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Go make it rain out there. Minimum of $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay, so I guess let's real quick, let me touch on a couple of other guys just to ask. Let's assume for now, I'm going to assume that Mostert's out next week, okay? Because if he has a mild MCL sprain, I think they're going to be cautious. I don't know about Tevin Coleman. Let's assume they're both out. Let's assume we learn today that it's unlikely that they're going to play. How much of your fab are you willing to spend on McKinnon tags? And do you pick up Jeff Wilson? I mean, he's probably going to get the goal line work, right?
I mean, if both Coleman and Mostert are ruled out, I would definitely move McKinnon ahead of Gaskin. But I'm still not going to spend more than maybe 10.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like 8, 9. So we're in the same path there. And if you're in a deeper standard league, Wilson's definitely in play for a couple bucks for that touchdown equity, especially against the Giants.
And I guarantee you, every single person listening to this right now is like, you guys are idiots because you haven't touched on the most exciting running back pickup of the week. And that's the guy who got 21 carries.
You're going to talk about Frank Gore? I'm going to hang up the phone.
63 yards. You're not on the phone. You can't hang up. I actually have control of what's happening right now. Frank Gore, I'm kidding, obviously. The fact that he got 21 carries for 63 yards in a game that they were behind from the get-go is hilarious. But I just want to make it clear. We're talking about guys like Myles Gaskin at this point. If you're going to get 20 carries and you've got a game against Indianapolis, is anybody thinking about Frank Gore? To be clear, he's like last on my waiver wire pickup. I'm not looking to add Frank Gore. I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Neither one of you guys.
If he's a desperation, you know, secondary, you know, you go down, you put your list of names that you want in the order and you need a body. Yeah. Okay. You throw a couple bucks on him. I can understand that. You're just trying to get by because the floor of Frank Gore is, you know, he'll at least get you something. It's better than a zero.
It's the same as his ceiling.
This is true. When you add them together, you still don't equal his age, too, the floor and the ceiling. But I mean, they got a matchup against the Colts on the road. I mean, that doesn't necessarily portend very well either, necessarily.
Yeah, but obviously it does not matter.
Don't roster any Jets. Do not roster any Jets. Don't do this to yourself. I did it to myself this week in DFS with Chris Herndon in my DFS lineup. And I mean, I still cash somehow.
You should have listened to my show because we talked about Herndon as a huge trap this week because it looks so good on paper. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, Adam ruins everything. That's the Jets t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if you have no running backs on your roster, Frank Gore is worth 1% of your fat budget. So don't be scared to just get out there. All right, let's go to wide receivers. I'm very interested to hear how you guys feel about wide receivers right now because there are a lot of intriguing names, I think, out there. So, Joe, who's your number one guy that you think who are you targeting and how much of your fab are you willing to spend if you're a wide receiver needy team?
Well, if Russell Gage is still out there, I would still plug in him because I mean that's a dude that I just think is going to get looks because why? Because the Falcons are going to let other teams stay in games for a very long time. I'm shocked by what's going on with Jacksonville. Probably Mike is less shocked than I am because he was very much on the Gardner Minshew train. But I'm thinking that Keelan Cole probably is somebody else to keep an eye on. He had 6 catches for 58 and seems like, you know, the secondary guy there. And he's shown some flashes in the past. So that it's not a guy that is bereft of talent. And maybe Jacksonville's offense is starting to improve. So I think those are kind of the two guys that I'd be looking at.
So those two guys are in my top five. I have my top five pretty close. But tags, Joe didn't name my number one guy.
Well, I'm assuming Corey Davis, but I guess that's weird.
No.
I already
have. let's assume Corey Davis is out there because he's rostered to be like tags. What do you think?
Corey Davis is not on my list because I think he's too highly owned.
That's what I thought too. Yeah. So, but then again, maybe we're wrong. You know, I mean, I think maybe even after last week, there just people weren't buying into it because they've seen this.
Oh, that's 100% the case. Like I know that.
Of course.
Yeah. I do a weekend waiver wire stash article that comes out on Saturday mornings. And Corey Davis was in there because I said he must have burned people so bad they don't want to pick him up, because I think he was available in like 70% of leagues, and it went up before we got to the game time on Sunday, I think, because people finally realized that AJ Brown was out. But yeah, he's too highly owned. But Russell Gage is my number one. You have Julio Jones playing through a hamstring injury. Todd Gurley apparently can't catch the football anymore. And like, he went from a guy that had, he caught 1 of 5 targets in week one, and then he saw 0 targets in week two, where they brought in Brian Hill and Ito Smith to start doing some work. So the targets over the middle of the field are going to be there. So Russell Gage is a guy that, he's not sexy. And I said, he reminded me of Adam Humphries a couple of years ago in Tampa Bay, where you knew you had Mike Evans there, and then you had Chris Godwin, who was still, I think he was a rookie that year, being worked in a little bit. But Adam Humphries was a guy, you never felt great about playing him, and you're always like, yeah, I get a decent floor with him, especially if you play in a PPR format. I think Gage is the safest option.
Yeah, and Gage, we talked about it last week, Tags. I mean, since the Mohamed Sanu trade, he's basically 8 targets a game. Like, that's what he is. And right,
it's basically
now,
basically Sanu's workload.
Right, 21 targets so far, 15 catches, 160 yards and a touchdown. That's good. The guy who I am really more looking for, and again, I think there are a lot of interesting guys. I think Keelan Cole is a great pickup, by the way, because I do think, I do like this Jacksonville offense. He is getting the targets, and Minshew is pretty accurate, and he's willing to throw it. And Cole, you're right, once upon a time, was a guy. What about Michael Pittman Jr.? I mean, this is a guy, obviously, you know, when you're a rookie wide receiver, it usually takes a little while to get going. But if Paris Campbell, and again, we do not know the severity of the injury right now to Paris Campbell, other than they think it's probably not an ACL, but he was carted off. There's no way he's going to be coming back at some point. Tex, we talked about how bad T.Y. Hilton looks generally. I mean, only 6 targets, 4 catches, 37 yards. But I mean, Jack Doyle is banged up. T.Y. Hilton doesn't look good. No Paris Campbell. They get the Jets. Michael Pittman Jr. is a guy who I'm looking to add. Are you guys not as excited about him?
I mean, well, to be fair, Dan, I was carted off last night's show. I am back today. So,
but look how terrible your performance is. I mean, it's very clearly affected.
Wow, yeah. Man. I'm just gonna skip this question then. I'm gonna go right to Joe on this one.
God, you know, look, Yates especially was the guy who really didn't like T.Y. Hilton. Yates, by the way, is having an amazing start for his like season long predictions, and I will fulfill.
I assume
quota.
He's gonna be Jonnu Smith for Halloween.
Like, he literally,
he took the day off today because he's celebrating Jonnu Smith.
Correct. He was like, I'm out today. See you later.
He's actually still running a lap of the victory.
Yes,
right around.
Yes.
Yeah. But he loved both Paris Campbell, which then, you know, we all kind of liked him, but he loved Michael Pittman Jr. So I'm wondering right now, especially given a pretty soft matchup, if you're struggling at wide receiver, why isn't Pittman? There's no way Campbell's going to play next week, regardless of anything. So why isn't Campbell higher on your list? Or where is he, I guess, on your list? Joe, let's start with you.
I think Pascal's the other guy you got to account for.
Yeah.
Pascal's fine.
And I think he's the... he's probably the safer one, but you're not wrong. And this might be also the variance of the kind of leagues we play in sometimes, as opposed to your more casual 10-team league that I think most people who probably listen to this show are playing. Pittman's probably a free agent. In any of the leagues I'm playing in, Pittman was drafted.
Yeah, Joe, just to be clear, we have the roster percentage, 14.8%.
That's
Pittman.
Shocking to
so
me.
So he is out there.
That is
everywhere.
Shocking to me that it's that low, because he is not on any waiver wire in any league that I am in. And... if he is in a league you're in and you can throw a couple bucks on him, absolutely do it. I am definitely in the camp of I've seen enough T.Y. now the first 2 weeks. I think I have a pretty good gauge of where he's at. I would like to see more Michael Pittman, and I think he is definitely worth a few bucks to throw that in. And once again, if you're doing those ancillary picks where you're, you know, you love Keelan Cole, let's say, but, you know, maybe not get him, then I think maybe you would throw a couple bucks here on Michael Pittman. And it is imperative this week to do that, to have secondary and third and even fourth waiver wire claims this week, because you have to understand it's not just about your team right now. You have to be looking at the league you're in as a whole. Everybody lost significant players to their main roster, pretty much. This is going to be very particular. You need to do a little bit more homework, and you need to make sure you have not just a second guy, but maybe a third and even a fourth, depending on the depth of the league you're playing in, because you need to get some bodies. You do not want to get kind of shut out here on the waiver wire in week 3. That's a dangerous proposition because it will be barren.
Yeah. So, Tags, talk to me about Pittman. I mean, is he a guy who you want to add, or are you thinking, again, that Pascal is going to be the guy to come in?
This is where it's so deep. I have 11 wide receivers that I feel like should be probably added in fantasy leagues, higher owned than they are right now. And that's why I'm saying I don't feel strongly about any of them outside of Gage giving you a solid floor. Like, Mike Williams is on this list, but he's over 50% owned. I don't even know why.
Yeah, out of curiosity, if Mike Williams was available, is he your top waiver wire pickup?
I'd still take Gage, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, Herbert.
I would take Williams, but it's close.
Yeah.
I know why Mike would take Gage, but I'll take the Williams upside because I can't quit him. Like every year I have Mike Williams and every year I see the moments where you go, this guy could be a star. And you know, the injuries and the thing, you're just, it's so frustrating.
For sure. I can quit Mike Williams. I just want to make that clear. I can quit him.
It's just amazing. How crazy was yesterday that we got a Herbert start too. Like, have we all sat back and we're all trying to talk about the injuries and stuff, but look, yesterday was crazy.
Yeah.
What was going on in the NFL? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, hopefully, Tyrod Taylor, I mean, this sounded not like a normal thing. Like, he had chest tightness. I know he's been released from the hospital, so hopefully he's fine. We have no idea who's going to, I mean, you know, Lynn came out and said, Tyrod's our starter. I don't know how you go back to Tyrod after Herbert, who, again, I'm already one start. I'll take the L on that one because I really thought that he was not going to be ready to play. He looked great, but he obviously did not target Mike Williams. And again, maybe it's a little different because he parachuted in right there. He was not expecting to start even as of the coin toss. He was like, oh, I'm in. Okay, let's see what this happens. But for me, yeah, Williams is there, but I don't know, man. I wasn't on Williams before the season. I'm not here. Let me throw two other names out there. What about N'Keal Harry? Again, he had a pretty good game, you know, 18 targets, first two games, 13 catches. Cam Shody aired it out. And again, Joe, you mentioned it really well. They need the red zone target. And I think Harry could be that guy, you know, until they trade midseason. And also a guy who I think we're probably, my guess is, assuming is not available in most leagues, but he is. He's only rostered in 30% of leagues. That's Jalen Reagor, who, you know, hasn't been great to start. That Eagles passing game has just been kind of disastrous, but he obviously has potential. So how do you feel about those two guys, Joe?
I feel good about Harry. Because I like the quarterback play right now. And if that continues to grow, and I know Bird had some good catches and some good moments in that game too. But look, they had very high expectations for Harry. It completely fell flat. And, you know, the injury didn't help him last year in terms of getting caught up in the offense. But whatever wasn't working last year with Brady seems to be at least starting with Cam Newton. And I think that is something that you can get very excited about. More excited than I would say about Pittman. I would be more excited about N'Keal Harry than Pittman just because I've watched Philip Rivers play quarterback the last 2 weeks too. And that has been very frustrating at times. And I tried to give that guy the benefit of the doubt that last year the O-line was terrible and this year he's going to a much better one. But so far, a lot of the bad habits have carried over, and that's very frustrating to see. Rager's another guy. I mean, the talent is there. The opportunity is going to be there. It's got to be a long play. Like, I don't think if you are just, you had a ton of injuries and now you're looking for a wide receiver to plug in next week, that he is the best. Like, I'd much rather have Harry than him. But if you, let's say, got out scot-free last week, yeah, maybe throw a couple bucks on Reagor. Maybe see a couple weeks. Maybe he does start to emerge. And if he doesn't, you cut him and you move on.
Right. So for me, look, I have Pittman as my number one because I do think that the potential is high. But I will say this. There is very little difference for me. This is a week where I think we did it last week, too. There's just not that much of a difference in wide receivers. Pittman, Harry, Gage, they're all right there. Cole, too. They're all right there. I'm not breaking the bank for any of them. And I don't have a strong preference for any of them. I agree with you, Joe, that Reagor is probably more of a long-term play. And again, if Williams is out there, of course, Tags, you mentioned you had 11 guys. Why don't you go through the rest of your list as to who you're
willing to add? I'm curious, like, why that you guys don't like Reagor even now. I'm actually worried once Alshon comes back because I was looking at this team earlier today and Goddard and Ertz have played like 131, 128 snaps, whereas the leading wide receiver is Reagor with 101 snaps. So clearly they're running a whole lot of two tight end sets. Greg Ward ran just 5 routes last week. So if they're running 2 tight end sets, where are they going to get these 3 wide receivers in the field? Is Alshon Jeffrey going to jump in automatically just play right over Reagor? Reagor actually, he ranks 9th right now in air yards among wide receivers, which is typically an indicator of future success. So I don't want to overreact to him. He was obviously coming off an injury that we didn't expect him to play through the first couple weeks of the season. So the fact that he's out there getting air yards, it tells me a lot. The matchup they have this week is actually a good one. I would hold on to him. If you're going to go to the waiver wire and he's there, he's available. If somebody didn't pick him up beforehand, you're going to be able to get him relatively cheap. If he's still on your waiver wire, you're only going to have to throw a couple bucks out there because it's not like he had a massive performance or anything like that.
Well, and the Bengals defense is terrible next week. So yeah, that's a good plug and play.
But you're not starting. There's no way he's got 4 targets in both games, right? I mean,
that's the thing is those targets are also down the field. If the Bengals are not generating pressure up front, Carson Wentz just needs a little bit more time to complete those. So there could be, he's a boom or bust option for me. He's like a wide receiver 4 or 5 that offers boom potential, but there's also bust potential. A lot of these guys we're talking about are safe options. It just depends on what you want in your team. Like Valdez-Scantling, for example, he's 12th among wide receivers and air yards, but he also had an ugly drop last week. He's continually up and down and we don't know how to feel about him. They're playing against New Orleans, which is a tough matchup, but it's better in the slot than it is on the perimeter. Van Jefferson is a guy that I think that's a long-term one. Van Jefferson is a guy that we heard continually throughout camp that he was like outperforming expectations. They drafted this kid in the second round. They clearly liked him a whole lot. He looks the part. He looks fantastic when he's out there. And then obviously, you know, getting targets this week, producing on them against the tough Philadelphia Eagles secondary. I like him going forward, and I think that he's probably a stash. He's not someone that you want to play right away because he still needs to fully take that job away from Josh Reynolds, but that's a stash. And then Tre'Quan Smith, we have not seen him play yet. He's obviously playing in the game tonight. With Michael Thomas out of the lineup, Tre'Quan Smith can actually surprise a lot of people because he's been extremely efficient with the targets he's gotten. So if he has a role in this offense and he's getting 5-6 targets per game, he can make it work. So it's just like a cluster of wide receivers, but the top tier for me is clearly Gage, N'Keal Harry. Those are the two guys that I feel like are head and shoulders.
I would agree with that. They're like the best combination of floor and upside as the season goes on. I think Mike hit it on the head. I think when you're trying to look just like at the who's the best two that you can put all these things that we've talking about, like, oh, this guy's got a good, you know, the good deep stats, and this guy's got good quarterback play, and this guy's like, you put all that stuff, you end up with N'Keal Harry and Gage probably.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. I like Pittman a little more because I do like his talent, and I do think that without Paris Campbell, I just, you know, I understand that Zach Pascal is going to get in there, of course, but I do think that Pittman is going to see more looks, and I agree that Rivers doesn't look good, but I mean, as he's got to pass to somebody. I mean, you're not going to run Jonathan Taylor 40 times a game, and obviously there's no Nyheim Hines going on right now, apparently, given what
man,
we saw
talk
yesterday.
About a lot of fab budget on Nyheim Hines last week. Woo!
By the way, let's make that very, very clear. I thought that last week, I think that this week, this is not a break your bank week. Last week was not a break your bank week. Don't overreact. Again, we haven't even seen the preseason games. Teams are still kind of figuring it out. I don't know what the Colts were doing. I really, really don't, given that Marlon Mack was out and Nyheim Hines looked good last week, that you're just saying, okay, you're barely playing and you're not getting any touches. I don't know. But I do think that this is the type of week that, again, you don't go crazy. And there are a lot of wide receivers here that I'd be willing to add. Joe, let me go down. I'm going to list a bunch of names here for you, some of which Tags mentioned. You just tell me which, if any of them, you're willing to add, okay? You've got MVS. Which Tags mentioned. Brandon Ayuk, we haven't talked about. Laviska Shenault, again, you know, involved in a variety of ways. Tre'Quan Smith, Van Jefferson, Chase Claypool, who had the big touchdown reception yesterday. Adam Humphries also got in the end zone. DeMarcus Robinson, you don't know about Sammy Watkins, maybe a concussion. Zach Pascal, Braxton Berrios, and Isaiah Ford. Any of those guys?
Yeah, a couple. I mean, MVS, you know, the way Rodgers has played so far in these first two games, it just seems like there's going to be enough ancillary to kind of really help him score some fantasy points. It seems like there's enough to go around right now, at least with the Packers for now. I think when you look at the rest of those names too, it's all of those, like, you know, maybe in a good spot. Humphries is the only other guy that really pops to me too, depending on how long AJ Brown is out, because Mike talked about Humphries earlier a couple years ago with Tampa. He had a fantastic finish to the season 2 years ago. And then last year he got signed and he did nothing. I mean, you know, he wasn't healthy, but he didn't do anything. And I always felt like that was actually going to be a cagey good signing, especially for a guy like Tannehill to be able to work the middle of the field a little bit, because that was something we were hoping that he could do with Jonnu Smith too, and we certainly saw that yesterday. But Humphries is another part of that puzzle, and I think that's the other guy, especially in full point PPR, I think would be a very quiet add when everybody else is still looking to add Corey Davis. Maybe Humphries is the guy that, you know, might actually continue to be quietly productive for the next few weeks.
All right, let's make sure we put a little bow on this. Just for your top, you know, you guys are both like Gage and you like Harry. What percentage of your fab are you willing to spend on either one?
With Harry, I would go somewhere in the $7-$8 range. I don't know if I wouldn't get up all the way to 10 with Harry, and Gage, maybe I'd go up to 9 or 10 for him. I'd maybe like go that double digit factor for me.
How about you, Tex?
I might be in the 10 to 15 range for Gage and Harry. If Gage is still there, again, you probably don't have to, because after having that 100-yard performance in week one, you figure that he was added in leagues where he was going to be. So this is a week where it's like these guys have performed already, and it's like now that's the second week they're out there. So I just don't know if they're going to go for a whole lot of money. I'd say if you need a wide receiver, especially one to produce like right now, I'd be willing to go up to 15.
All right, let's really quickly hit quarterback. You know, if you're out there, if you have an injury, there are so many good quarterbacks. I can't imagine you're looking to add anybody at this point. But if you are, Joe, is there anybody out there who you're like, ooh, all right, I'll take this guy?
Well, I mean, if Gardner Minshew's still out there, I guess you got to add him. Yeah. I mean, if you listen to Mike, the chances are that that's not the case.
He's been drafted in the sixth round, if you listen to Tag. I agree, though. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, him and Tannehill, if you're in a single quarterback league, I think both of those guys. And look, if for some reason Joe Burrow's floating around your league, please go add him. I mean, I don't know if that's the case. I play in a lot of Superflex, so that's not the case in my universe. But my goodness, watching him Thursday night, all I kept thinking was, I'm sure everybody's having the same thought, if the Bengals can just surround this guy with a good offensive line and avoid the pitfalls that the Colts did with Andrew Luck, where they didn't protect him well enough, and then he kept getting hurt, and the next thing you know, he retires before he's even 30, basically. You can't have that happen to this kid. He is a special talent, and I know Mike and I have talked very glowingly about him all offseason as a guy that could finish as a QB1. I don't see how there's any doubt about that when you watch him last week. And you see all the targets to AJ Green. Everything is so close. And you see the way he's able to make plays with his legs. And he is completely unfazed by anything that happens to him negatively. And I got to tell you, that is a great quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals to have. Because there's going to be a lot of negative that's going to happen to this kid. And he lost the tight end and he found the other tight end. And like, there's just no stopping this guy mentally or physically. It's just a matter of, can they protect him well enough that he doesn't get hurt? But Burrow's got to be added. I'm sorry. You just have to.
Yeah. If Burrow's available, Tags, I assume that's your guy. And if not, it's Minshew, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Good.
Minshew would be my, I'd actually prefer to start Minshew this week over Burrow, though. So if you need, if you're looking for Miami 1 week, I would go with Minshew.
All right. All right. That's fair. Let's go to tight end, because it's more intriguing here. We got a lot of interesting names here. Joe, who's your number one target for a tight end, if you're struggling?
Well, I'm assuming Gesicki's owned in most leagues, so I'm not going to go through that. But if he's not, probably that's the obvious add this week. I really liked what I saw on Thursday night from Sample. I thought Drew Sample played really well, and Uzomah's not going to be back in a while. And I feel like that's a good safety net for that young quarterback to see that tight end. And he found him in a lot of spots. And the guy is a big bodied kid. He seemed to move well. Everything looked like it was in sync. And that is a huge thing. We're always looking for the guy who's in sync with his quarterback. And I know there's guys out there that are like Moelle Cox. I don't know if we're just chasing this past week. It feels like we might be. But then again, maybe this is another thing without Paris Campbell on the field that we have to account for. Maybe Pittman and maybe some Pascal and those other guys aren't the answer. Maybe Cox is the guy who ends up benefiting the most from Paris Campbell being out. But I'm not going to go chase Jordan Reed. I'm just not going to do it. I'm sorry. Can't do it. Won't do it. But Sample's that guy for
me.
If
you knew George Kittle was going to be out for like 4 weeks, all right, would that change your opinion on Reed?
It would. But I would imagine we're getting Kittle back sooner than later, right?
Next week.
It seems like a next week kind of thing, which means that people will chase it and then they'll get frustrated. That's kind of where I am. So Sample to me has the most long-term appeal of some of the guys that I saw play this weekend.
Interesting. Tags, do you agree with that or do you have another name?
Sample.
Really? Yeah.
Sample. All right. Yeah. Well, no, I'm in on Sample. I got some stats for you guys on this one.
Goody.
Uzama's out.
My favorite.
The Bengals have thrown the ball 97 times through 2 weeks. The tight ends have accumulated a 21.6% target share. With Uzama out, they went to Sample. Sample is tied for the league lead in red zone targets with 4 of them. You know, you look at what happened with this offense. You know, AJ Green, I don't know what to do with AJ Green. I'm going to be honest with you guys. He's a guy that has crazy amount of air yards. He's getting the targets, but he doesn't look like the same player. Burrow looks good. And Tyler Boyd is a guy, but he's going to be limited in tough matchups. Like, for example, this week they're going against Philadelphia. He's going to match up with Nickel Roby-Coleman in the slot. They've allowed 4 touchdowns to tight ends. I think Drew Sample is a guy that you can stream this week. I think he might be a long-term. He might be like a Logan Thomas, but in a better offense. You know, like when we talk about Logan Thomas and following those targets over the last couple weeks, that's fine. And I always follow the targets at tight end. But Sample is attached to an offense that's going to throw the ball more. And he seems to be a favorite of Joe Burrow. I mean, when you saw Uzama
leave
that
like
game,
Lamar and Mark Andrews last year. Yeah. Like, that's what it looked like to me.
A little bit.
It was like this weird shade of that where you go, well, this kind of came out of nowhere.
It really did. And honestly, when I was doing I did the primer for the draft day edition, which is I was like trying to look at every different scenario. And I said, Uzama is not a guy that you're going to say, oh, we can't take the job away from him. Sample always could have earned that job. We just didn't see it much from him in year one. So to see him get a shot, even against in that game against the Browns last week, he played extremely well. I'm high on Sample this week. I actually think that you can consider him a streaming option, and I'm not going to be afraid to play him.
So nobody wants to talk about the guy who saw 10 targets and caught 9 of them for 88 yards.
He's number two. He's number two on my list.
He's number two. That's fine. That's Dalton Schultz. Let me ask something. Was this just a, oh God, we're down by 20 points. We have to have this miraculous comeback. And so we're just going to go everywhere. Or everybody was really excited about Blake Jarwin, you know, because of the fact that Jason Witten and Jarwin last year, again, 124 targets or whatever it was. So that offense targets the tight end. How do you guys feel about Schultz? Is this sort of a one-off, or is this somebody who you think
that fans... I don't think it's a one-off, because I thought he looked pretty good in that game against the Rams, too. I think what we're all realizing is that this Cowboys offense is yet again going to be fantastic for fantasy. I can't tell you how many CeeDee Lamb shares in the 12 leagues I'm in that I have. It's probably 7 or 8. And... you know, that was cautiously optimistic, and I was cautiously optimistic about Jarwin. And you look at the amount of targets that went to the tight end last year, and you look at Dak's career and how he always found the tight end, whether it was Witten or, you know, Jarwin at times. That tight end is going to be part of the offense because that's just part of the way they run things. Now, he's got to hold on to the football. Otherwise, he won't see as many. So that's one of those things you have to keep in mind. That's the only thing that really kind of stuck with me yesterday. It's like, oh, you know, when you get these opportunities, you can't turn the ball over. And that was that one thing he did in that game that kind of stuck in my craw. But outside of that, the rest of it was pretty good. And it was pretty good in week one, Sunday night against the Rams as well. I thought he looked the part, basically.
Yep. Yeah, and Tag, so you're also all right with adding Schultz, but he's behind Sample for you.
For sure, yep. I have Schultz just behind Sample, and then Logan Thomas right behind him.
Yeah.
Jordan Reed, I mean, I'm worried about that offense in general. Like, Mullins under center is not as attractive. Kittle should be back relatively soon, and we can't pretend that Jordan Reed is all of a sudden going to be healthy for all 16 games. So
what?
There's a lot of different tight ends.
How about for all of 16 minutes? get all of 16 minutes?
That's true. He didn't play a whole lot of snaps, though.
Yeah, no, but look, if Reed is in there, Tags, we talked about it very briefly last night. If Reed is in there and Kittle is out, he's a borderline starter at the very least, just because they have nobody else in there. But I agree with you guys. Thomas, again, got the targets, you know, 9 yesterday, but, you know, doesn't have the quarterback play and everything like that. So he does go to third. But I'm with you guys pretty much. I do have Schultz slightly ahead of Sample, but it's literally 1A and 1B. So it's the same thing. All right, let's get overall then top 5 waiver wire pickups. Let's start with you, Tags, because I'll give Joe a little time to sort of think about it. I don't know if you have your list sort of out there.
Yeah, I do. So number one is Darrell Henderson. He's up there. Russell Gage, number two. If Mike Williams is there, he would be right there with Russell Gage, number three. N'Keal Harry, number four. And again, those guys. So Darrell Henderson, I'm willing to do 20. I mean, again, 15 to 20 for him. But if you need a running back now, you kind of can't wait. Or if we hear something about Cam Akers, I'm willing to go up to 30. Russell Gage, Mike Williams, N'Keal Harry, those guys are in that, you know, 10 to 15 range. And then from there, you get to guys like Jalen Reagor, Keelan Cole, Drew Sample, Minshew. And that's where it starts to go down to like the $5 tier for me. We talked about all those options, but those are my top ones.
How about you, Joe, if you had to do top 5?
Well, it's basically the same guys. Yep. I mean, basically the same price, basically the same order, because Mike is super smart and handsome like me. Henderson, Gage, Harry, Sample, Cole. Reagor, for me, there's something right now that's off with the Eagles, and I'm getting a little worried. I mean, we know what it is, but still, it was the first time in, 21 games that Carson Wentz didn't throw a touchdown pass. It just seems like things are just not flowing there. And it's only 2 weeks, and we don't want to overreact. And we saw what happened with the Falcons last year, right? Well, Falcons were 2-6. It was awful. And then they went 6-2. So anything can happen. Seasons can get turned around, but it's starting to frustrate me. So Cole and Reagor are kind of like tied for fifth with me, but Sample's number four too. I just, you know, and I'm trying not to overrate what I saw in that one game, but this is why it's so important to watch. It's more than just the stats. If you're really serious and you're putting big money into somebody's leagues, you got to watch what's going on when you can, especially when they isolate those games. People rolled their eyes about that Thursday night game. Oh, it's the Browns and the Bengals. Nobody wants to watch it. You know what? It was a great, fun football game.
Right.
Was it clean all the time? No, of course not, because it's the Bengals and the Browns. But it was very entertaining, and you could find a lot of things that you could take out of that game. The way they used Kareem Hunt at the second half of the game, to really watch that, to really watch the play action with Baker Mayfield and, you know, see how that was working for them and starting to, you know, give them a little bit of a different identity on offense. So it's very important that if you watched, you saw Sample, and you saw basically what everything Mike's talking about from a stat size, you saw with your own eyes.
Yeah. Well, if you've listened to this podcast, you roster Jonnu Smith, so you're fine at tight end.
That is fine. Well, exactly. You know what? It's funny because I was into Jonnu Smith and then spending so much time with Kyle on the show in the offseason.
I think I ended up with more Janu than I thought I was going to. And you know what, Kyle, thank you very much. This is my official thank you on the show. Well done. I know he's got a flag outside of his house now as well. You know, people have like those it's fall flags and things like that. It's just a big picture of Jonnu Smith in front of his house. His poor
I will say that a good rule of thumb for a fantasy analyst is not to take victory laps in September. And in baseball, we always say it, don't take April victory laps. So for me, I'm not all that different. I do have Daryl Henderson number one. Again, maybe up to 20% of my fab budget if I absolutely had to. For me, number two is Jerick McKinnon, just because I do think there were all the reports about how good he looked. I always favor the running backs anyway. There were all the reports about how good he looked, you know, in camp. He looked very good yesterday. You know Raheem Mostert's going to be out. Tevin Coleman probably at least going to be limited. So I do expect him to get a lot of work in the game, at least next week against the Giants and probably thereafter. After that, again, my three wide receivers that are all sort of locked there together. Pittman, N'Keal Harry, and Russell Gage. I think they're all great ads, but you know, maybe 15% max for me for any of them. Let's go to QB and DST streamers. I mean, we kind of touched on it with QB. We've obviously got Minshew against Miami, who's probably the top guy who's widely available. If Ryan Tannehill is available against Minnesota, he's getting stuff done. Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Jaguars if you're in a really deep league and you're struggling at quarterback. Joe, is there anybody else who you're thinking about to stream at quarterback next week?
The stream of quarterback next. I mean, again, this is always tough for me because I play in the Superflex world so much, but streaming QBs, I mean, there's no way Cam should be out there. I do think you could play Joe Burrow if you didn't like, if you're looking at, let's say you're the Carson Wentz owner right now and Joe Burrow's on the waiver wire, I would take that flip for next week. I really would. I mean, Joe Burrow's getting fantasy points right now, and until the Eagles fix whatever's wrong, that's a change I'm willing to make. I don't know if Tags is willing to be that dramatic as I am.
Not that I'm willing dramatic. To do it. No.
Yeah, me neither. I'm close, but yeah, not that.
No, yet. I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's okay. do it. I'm doing it, man. The Eagles just don't look right, man. And in terms of defensive streamers, it's a tough one because most of the matchups next week, they really favor the defenses that are owned. So I'm not really super excited about the Giants against the 49ers, even though the 49ers are losing a lot of guys. But if you're trying to target maybe a team that's lost a lot of pieces, but I feel like the 49ers with Mullins can still get things done if he has to play or whoever else, they have a deep enough roster that they can at least beat the Giants. And I think that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, the Browns versus Washington, that's the only other one. But to me, that would, you kind of circle that one.
Yeah, they're on my list, the Browns, for one of the teams I'd consider. Tag, start with QB. Anybody who I miss there? I mean, I don't think the options are that attractive to start, especially given how great quarterback is.
No, Minshew's a good one, obviously, playing on Thursday night. I think Phillip Rivers is a guy that's available in a lot of leagues, playing against the Jets. That's just a terrible football team.
It's accurate. I don't know why you have to constantly say that, but it's accurate.
I'm going to double dip here. I'm going to go over to the streaming defense. I'm going to say you play the Indianapolis Colts against the Jets.
That is the number one. That is correct, though. That is correct. That's the number one option. That's widely available.
It's ugly, man. Have you ever watched Adam Gase run an offense? That's all you need to know. But the Colts actually do lead.
No, I haven't.
The Colts actually lead the NFL in terms of sack percentage. On 13.2% of dropbacks, they are sacking the opposing quarterback.
Yeah, tags, those sacks are never going to come when Frank Gore gets 40 carries in the game. So don't worry about it.
40 carries for 42 yards.
The Jets lost by 40 points, but Frank Gore totaled an incredible 51 carries for 78 yards. Amazing. Okay. By the way, this is just coming out today that I just saw it. I have my notifications on for any time there's like a big tweet. Sterling Shepard apparently is dealing with turf toe. So chances are he's going to be missing.
So Tyrell Williams injury from last year.
Turf toe is just never good. Never good for anybody. But anyway, to get back to the defenses, I completely agree. Indianapolis, which is available in a lot of leagues, is the one to pick up. Chargers are apparently out there in a bunch of leagues. I know the Panthers aren't, you know, a team that turns the ball over that much, but the Chargers defense, you saw it yesterday against Kansas City, very solid, even without Derwin James.
Very impressive. Very impressive. That they're getting so much pressure on the quarterback. And to me, this was the test because they look good week one, but you go, it's rookie quarterback, his first start. You know, I got to take too much out of that. And then this week against Patrick Mahomes, and I know they were at home and all, but still, that they got a ton of pressure there on that front. And the secondary played well, too, better than I thought. I mean, they took everything Mahomes had into overtime for that team to go get that W. And I was very impressed with the Chargers yesterday.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They played very well. All right, let's finish up, guys, with some drop or keep. These are fringe-worthy guys who should be rostered. So you don't have to give a crazy amount of analysis. Can be kind of rapid fire. If you want to add a little spicy take to it, it's fine. But let's start going. Okay, let's start. Joe, you answer first, and then tags. Drop or keep Nyheim Hines.
keep. I don't think you could overreact to last week too much. Let's see what week three. Let's see what the tie goes to the runner here. Let's
see. Tag. Keep. Yep, that is correct. I'm not that excited about it.
Oh, man, now I feel like I'm back in Family Feud. I don't know.
It's true. No. I'm actually grading, so you both are correct.
All
you
right, keep nine minds, okay.
Especially if spent 90% of your fab on him, which we did not recommend. Drop or keep. This is a very running back heavy drop or keep, by the way. Drop or keep, Ronald Jones.
Keep.
Tags.
Keep, I mean, keep, but it's I'm getting worried.
Oh, and I'm so happy. Oh, that worry in Mike's voice just gives me so much inner joy because I have so much Fournette.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sure. I hope he's right. that inner voice.
We pounded the desk of being like, oh yeah, this is Ronald Jones' opportunity until he fumbles and or misses a blitz pickup, in which case
yeah, you're happened. Out of luck.
But yes, I agree that you keep because again, Leonard Fournette, kind of the same thing. You miss a blitz pickup, you fumble the ball, maybe go back to Ronald Jones. I want to start with tags on this one, actually. Start drop or keep Anthony Miller.
Dude.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted the heavy.
No, I mean, I would drop him for one of those top waiver wire options we talked about, but I would not drop him for the second tier. So if it's for Gage or N'Keal Harry.
Gage or Harry.
Yeah, I would drop him for those guys, but outside of that, I would not.
I agree. I don't think I drop him for the Coles and Humphreys and that tier.
There's concerns, though. I've gone through the
What
steps.
About Corey Davis? Would you drop him for Corey Davis?
Yeah.
I would, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so two for two. All
right, yeah. Good. Oh, yeah. And I was super high on Anthony Miller, too. This is a miss for Yates. We've been pumping up Yates the whole time. He was way high on Anthony Miller, as we all are. Miss for you,
well,
Yates.
Yeah, we can all be high on the talent. I mean, at the end of the day, wide receivers are only as good as their quarterback play. I mean, just ask Corey Davis.
It's not even the quarterback
it's
play,
the coach.
Though, right? That's the
it's
thing.
It's the coach.
And the coach and everything. The whole thing.
I mean, all if right, you can get Anthony right. Miller to the Patriots, I mean, that would be something.
You know what? Can we make that happen? I'd love to see that.
I'm going to get on the phone right after we're done, guys.
I mean, the Bears did sign Jimmy Graham, so maybe they'll trade Anthony Miller straight up for Julian Edelman.
That's all true. Right.
Number four, drop or keep. And again, we just found out about Sterling Shepard. I don't know whether or not it influences your decision, which probably was one way or the other. Anyway, Evan Ingram, drop or keep?
Keep.
Keep.
Yeah, I'm keeping too. Again, I'm not that excited about it, but if I drafted him, I'm still keeping.
Well, especially without Saquon now, they're going to have to throw the ball more.
And Shepard.
And again, no Sterling Shepard. They have to go somewhere. Yep. Drop or keep Cam Akers.
Hold on a sec. Actually, you know what? Dial back 1 second. Ingram might actually be an interesting trade target now because you could probably get him very low. And those people who are like, let's say you didn't get the tight end off the waiver wire, all of a sudden Ingram for the next month becomes a very intriguing piece potentially. So he's actually a
trade
target.
Yeah, but you know what? All those people who are looking to trade for a tight end are just going to pick up Drew Sample, man, or Dalton Schultz, right?
If you miss, you might be able to say, look, you've got this guy and you got that guy on your bench. Why don't you give me Ingram? Here's a, here's a Frank Gore jersey. Maybe you can get it.
That's preposterous. All right, let's go to Cam Akers, drop or keep.
Keep until we find out what's going on with the injury.
Joe?
Yeah, I think you have to keep for now, but I'll tell you what, if the injury's not good, I'm willing to drop him to get Henderson if I have to.
Yeah, I would keep. Drop or keep Tariq Cohen, Joe.
Ugh, God.
God, I love it when I ask these and the reaction from everybody is either a huge sigh or an ugh, because I'm doing it right. Go ahead.
Drop, because I just hate that offense so much.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree here. I mean, it depends on who you're dropping him for, but he has 3 targets through 2 games. Like, what the hell did you give this guy an extension for if you're not going to
I was going to say, why'd you give him all that money? What are you doing?
What's
happening?
I mean, I'm dumbfounded by the way that they've used Tariq Cohen, the way that they've used Anthony Miller. It makes very, very little sense.
2-0, baby.
Yeah,
2-0,
the worst 2-0
Chicago
team ever.
Bears. Super Bowl. All right, Jarvis Landry, drop or keep?
Keep. Definitely keep.
Tom Brady, drop or keep?
Drop for Joe Burrow.
I'm gonna keep him for the moment.
I mean, I have to keep him because he was my son's first round pick, but other than that, I'd be dropping him no problem whatsoever. Drop or keep, then I mean, I think I know the answer to this. Malcolm Brown,
keep. Yeah, you have to keep him. You have to wait and see.
Yeah, you gotta keep.
Yeah, we're keeping every part of the Rams backfield, unfortunately. Drop or keep, last one, DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, keep. It's
long term. He's
early.
The best Lions running back to own.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you'll be happy you kept him by the time we hit Halloween.
Yep. I think that that's right. All right, guys, that's it for today. Joe, thanks for coming on, man. Remind everybody about the 80 places they can find you.
I'd rather tell them the places they can't find me. It might be easier, but thanks for having me on, boys. Always good to chat with y'all. You can find me every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern on Sports Grid, hosting a fantasy game day with the Matt Stryker and Impact champion Eric Young, which is a great fun show. And it doesn't even conflict with Fantasy Pros because I think you guys do your live stream right after. So you can watch me and then watch them. You can check me out on Fantasy Sports Today 5 days a week on Sports Grid. Check out the Black Book podcast, the DFS shows at Line Star. And In This Ring, if you like wrestling. So there you go. And of course, Joe Pizzapia 17 on the Twitter machine.
All right, that is going to do it for today's show. Do not forget to check out our waiver assistant over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Thanks to Pristine Auction. Remember, thousands of auctions every single day. Incredible prices. Autographed sports memorabilia all day long. PristineAuction.com. That's PristineAuction.com. Finally, DraftKings. Forget about the injuries. Pick a new team every week over at DraftKings. Use our code FANTASYBROS. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. We will be back tomorrow with another show. We'll talk to you then.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.